Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place. Happy Monday, Padres fans. It's time to discuss the weekend that was for the Padres with our Ben and Woods Linsider, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Brought to you by the all-new Homul Casino Resort, the player's place. Things are about to get real with the all-new Homul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
And joining us now from The Athletic is our pal Dennis Lynn. D. Lynn, good morning to you, my friend. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. It's not a great Monday for the Padres, but...
Yeah. No, not a great Monday at all. You picked a hell of a time to have what you categorized as the worst game of the season, and I think we could probably all agree Saturday night was the worst game of the season by far. Blake Snell on the ropes a little bit there in the early goings, the first inning, and I can't remember the last time I saw three guys thrown out at second base, Dennis, and one or whatever, three caught stealings. That was pretty bananas. What happened there? Like, why try that there?
Yeah, I can't remember that either. I think this goes back to 2023 when Blake and Mike Schilt established a very close relationship when Mike was the Padres, I guess, senior advisor / interim third base coach. But yeah, they spent a lot of time together. And it's not like it's just because of that relationship, but it's well known around the league that Blake is someone you can run on. And I think if you look back to that 23 season again, he had, I think, only one caught stealing when he was on the mound and 25 stolen bases. So you could see the logic. And he won the Cy Young, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he tripled it in one inning. Incredible. Oh, absolutely incredible work. Obviously, and it doesn't help when your starting pitcher, Dylan Cease, comes out and pitches the way that he does, Dennis. And there's a kind of a byline in your story that says the Dodgers are in the Padres' heads. And I noticed that as well. And I saw it Friday, and I tweeted about it because I always will. You know, Dave Roberts said, hey, you know, it's just another game for us. They seem hyper-focused and hyper-fixated on us. You saw some of the national reporters talking about it, too. I thought it was a little bit odd the way that it was couched. Man, the Padres are really going for it here in the sixth inning with, you know, using Jeremiah Estrada. And I'm like, no, that's just what the Padres do. I don't know, man. There is something psychological between Dave Roberts and Mike Schilt, it seems.
I would agree. I am, I guess, in the Padres' defense, like how many low-leverage relievers do they really have? They kind of have to
exactly.
Throw all these guys at some point. But, yeah, I mean, I think if you look at this series and the way they played and just how uncharacteristic some of that stuff is compared to, you know, just coming off that shellacking of the Giants, it's hard not to notice that maybe, yeah, this team, there's a little something there. You know, the pressing, whether it's Dylan Cease not being able to find his release point, like from the very first inning, and, you know, just looking like he's miserable out there, to surrenders in scoring position and the inability to come up with the kind of big hits that the Dodgers seem to just pull out of their, you know what, like whenever they need it. And they were not, again, they were not having a great series or a great month coming into this series. And they just lost, a series to the Angels, who they went 0-6 against this season. So it's hard not to notice that there's these disparities between when the Dodgers play other teams and when they play the Padres. And I don't know if it's really true that they're not also, you know, focusing on the Padres, but Padres certainly got them right. So that says something about both teams, I think.
I think, you know, saying it in the media, if you're Dave Roberts, is a really smart move. You know, putting the onus back on the San Diego Padres. It's good psychology. No, we're just playing it. And he didn't, you know, you saw how he configured his lineup, you know, not doing left, right, left. He went left, right, right, left because he was, frankly, didn't want to mess with Adrian Morejon. And he, for whatever reason, has gotten in the Padres' players' heads. It seems they have a 8-2 record against us this season. And, you know, best you can do is 8-5 against that team up north, who is not having the greatest season. They're not having the 120-win season we all predicted, Dennis. But, you know, Mike Schilt, somebody put in the chat, and I think I might agree with this, and see if you do. It says his loyalty is his greatest strength and his greatest weakness. And listen, nothing's been nothing's happened yet. Nobody's won the World Series yet. Nobody's lost it. But do you get that sense when it comes to, you know, the guys that he plays every day and the way that he puts them out there? Do you get that sense too that I'm not going to mess with this thing?
I do, and I think I'm not the only one who's noticed. There are people with the team, for example, who wonder, you know, if it's time to move Luis Arraez down the lineup. He's obviously been pretty much a fixture in that number two hole all season, and you've got Robbie Ray going tonight for the Giants. So lefty on lefty, Arraez has not been great against lefties. I think, you know, the fact that Jackson Merrill is probably not going to play tonight, I would think.
Yeah.
And Gavin Sheets is going to get in there, and Ryan O'Hearn's probably going to get in there some way, shape, or form. Maybe they do shake it up tonight, but yes, Mike's reputation as a player's manager is well known throughout the league, not only here, St. Louis. He's always been that way. And I think that's playing out right now, but, you know, if you want to win and you care more about winning, then maybe ego management, which is also a huge part of the job. I think this is going to be a really telling lineup tonight. But yeah, it's gotten like National League Manager of the Year award, and it's gotten to the playoffs multiple times. So you can see why he's stuck by his methods. But I think there is a time for sticking by your methods and sticking to what got you here. But there's also time for flexibility in service of, you know, trying to win it all.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it the, you know, is stubborn the right word? I don't know. Is it the not wanting to upset the apple cart? Because again, it's hard because, you know, Schulte will tell us, and we believe him when he says it, every guy in that locker room wants to win a championship. And, you know, it comes with, you have to be unselfish at times. And I think Gavin Sheets is a great example. I think Ryan O'Hearn's been a great example when he signed here. He said, use me however you need me to use me. And I think now, you know, you trade for an all-star. I'd like to see him get some more ABs. And, you know, somebody put in our chat earlier, well, he's, you know, six for whatever he is. And I said, well, he's, you know, he's not getting the ABs that he's accustomed to getting. Let's let some of the best players get out there and eat right now without worrying about, you know, crushing feelings down the road. Because if you're hoisting the trophy in October, that truly should be the only thing that matters.
Well, one thing I keep coming back to is this stood out to me throughout the weekend. And I know, again, they just killed the Giants right before, you know, over the weekend.
Yeah.
But who are you really scared of in this lineup right now if you're an opposing pitcher? It seems like Ramon Laureano. And
that's it.
Maybe that's it. And right now, you know, Manny and Fernando are not going to lead the top of the lineup in all likelihood. And I think we all totally get that. But if you're going to, you know, put Luis Arraez in between them, that kind of complicates things because, you know, hitters aren't scared of him right now. So how do you shake this up to where, you know, your best hitters, your most dangerous hitters are getting the most plate appearances, and maybe Ramon Laureano, you know, factors into that. But yeah, I think we all know how much Schulte likes his right-left kind of combination, almost regardless of the pitching matchup. But yeah, I think it's time to really reconsider some of these things, and he's not the type to overreact, which he shouldn't be. But again, I think there are all these questions that kind of swirl in all of our minds, especially as the Padres try to position themselves best for October.
Yeah, no question. Talking to Dennis Lynn from The Athletic here on Ben and Woods. Let's talk about Manny for a second. Manny having a pretty terrible August, as it were. One RBI in the month of August, which is, you know, that's just not going to get it. It's not going to get it done, man. It's just not going to. I don't know that he's hurt. He's out there every day. Certainly we always appreciate that about Manny. You know, and I did see a report after the game. He left, didn't talk to media, got in a car that was waiting for him. Is that standard, Dennis, from LA? You know, guy get their own ride home instead of jumping on the team bus or whatever. Is that something you've heard about? Do we need to make a big deal out of this, a bigger deal than it needs to be?
It's not universal, but it's also not uncommon, especially for a player of Manny's stature. So I'm not going to begrudge anyone, you know, trying to get back to San Diego as soon as possible, try to flush this series. But, you know, he does have a few more resources than some guys. But, I mean, like anyone on the team could literally get a car down to San Diego. So be interesting to see what Manny says maybe later today. But yeah, he's I think he's on a 13-game streak of no RBIs, longest streak for him like that since I think shortly after the Dodgers traded for him in 2018. So he's going through it. I think he's being pitched tough. And again, maybe you can reconfigure your lineup a little bit so he's got a little more protection around him. But yeah, it's certainly not going to matter if, you know, Fernando and Manny don't come through. And, you know, Fernando, to his credit, stuck around after the game yesterday, said, you know, I'm just not getting the ball in the air. And this is the, I think this is the longest homerless streak of his career, at least in terms of plate appearances, almost 100 plate appearances. So if you can get those two guys going, the lineup suddenly looks a lot different. But I just wonder what else you can do around those guys to help them out.
Dennis, what about Jackson Merrill? Do you expect to see him in the lineup tonight?
I think the way he was talking after last night's game, he's obviously frustrated, threw some expletives in there, which you always appreciate the candor from Jackson.
We are not in trouble when I do it, Dennis, so that doesn't make any sense.
Maybe you should get a 9-year, $135 million contract, Lizzie, and then you can say whatever you want.
That's true. That's fair enough.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, but Jackson, I would expect he's probably due for a day. Just how he was moving, how he was talking after the game, and how we saw him kind of limping around in the batter's box the last couple games. So it's not been a great season for him. Obviously, a lot of fluke injuries, as you put it. So I think it's time to, you know, give the youngster a break and hopefully get Gavin Sheets some more at bats.
It's why, Dennis, this series is a perfect example of why nobody knows anything. If you look at momentum, if you look at strengths and weaknesses, you know, obviously the bottom of the Dodgers lineup had been terrible. They came through, right? The bullpen had been terrible. They came through. Alex Vesia getting the final five outs yesterday. I mean, you have like give the guy credit. Like, he has not been good this year. Diaz, their closer, has been terrible. He got some big outs for them. Dave Roberts managed really, really well. And they got the long ball, five long balls in the series. And we don't, you know, we just don't hit home runs right now. You know, I see a lot of people upset about that. I hearken back to the days. I remember the days of doing this show when the San Diego Padres were built to, well, it looks like the guys are just waiting on the three-run homer, right? And we're not moving the chain, and we need to move the chain. Well, now we move the chain, and everybody wants to hit home runs. It's certainly an interesting thing, and I agree with fans to be a little bit panicked. I agree that they should be a little bit upset, because, you know, until you win one, Dennis, they're always going to question your methods, always.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe the right approach, because until you prove it, it's still on you to go out and show you can do it. And the Padres out hit the Dodgers in this series. They played 2 1-run games, so it could have gone either way, I guess you could argue, in the end. But yeah, this scoreboard, unfortunately, is what matters. And I think the Padres have lost like 5 consecutive series to the Dodgers since last October, and we all know how that ended. So you got to kind of wipe away those ghosts from, you know, the last playoffs. And until they do it, they have to show us they can do it.
That's exactly right, D-Lynn. Thank you so much for jumping on with us this morning. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.